Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen podcast, brought to you in association with WCRFM, Wolverhampton's local radio station, which you can hear on 101.8 FM, online at wcrfm.com, or by telling your smart speaker to play WCRFM. My guests on this week's podcast are Councillor Steve Evans talking about the blight of fly tipping and how you can shop a tipper, plus the best Christmas paper to buy for recycling. We'll also be hearing from Brenda Shuttleworth telling us about some of the goods on offer in the trade fair shop in the Mander Centre and the way that those goods can enable communities to grow around the world. The Mayor of the City of Wolverhampton, Councillor Sandra Samuels OBE, will be outlining what she'll be doing on Christmas Day and how a free Christmas lunch can be booked. And Christmas can be a very difficult time for many, so Gray from Samaritans will be outlining the help that is out there. And finally, in this Christmas week, we have a message from the Right Reverend Clive Gregory, the Bishop of Wolverhampton. So first of all, here's Councillor Steve Evans talking about the blight of fly tipping.
Well, it's a blight across the whole of the UK, actually, and there's over a million fly tips annually. So, you know, it's not unique to Wolverhampton.
Yeah, indeed.
And it can't be the two household waste and recycling centres, because they're open 7 days a week, 8 till 4pm. You know, there's one in Anchor Lane, Lanesfield, one side of the city, and one in Shore Road, down just off Bushby Lane. So there is no excuse. And clearly, you know, when you look at how many things get fly tipped and what gets fly tipped, you know, this is not, you know, just your everyday resident who says, I can't get to the tip. This is more, you know, your white van man dumping mattresses, furniture, you know, even tyres. And we've had something like 3,000 fly tips already this year.
2,945, and that was just to the end of November. So it will be over 3,000 during the year, won't it?
Without doubt. And it costs an awful lot of money to clear up.
And indeed. And I suppose one of the things here is that if people, someone comes around and sort of says, oh, I'll get rid of that for you, you know, I'll do that for 10, 20, 50 quid, the chances are that it's not going to where it should be going.
Absolutely. You know, somebody driving past and offers to take something away for you, like a garage clearance, cash in hand, please don't do it. The chances are, you know, it'll get fly tipped and the guys will track it back to your address and you'll end up with the fine and maybe even a court appearance.
That's important for people to know, isn't it, actually, that the person who actually takes your money and dumps it might well get away with it because it's going to be your address on something in there.
Absolutely. And we've had two or three cases like that, actually. And I felt sorry for the individual, but it is your responsibility to make sure that it's somebody who's a responsible and genuine contractor who's taken away your household waste or garage clearance.
And now on the other side of the money, you know, there might be a reward if you can shop a tipper.
Absolutely. And we've been keen to ensure that where we can issue a fixed penalty notice of £300, and we can demonstrate that the individual who gave us the information which led to the fine, we're more than happy to give that person a £100 voucher out of the £300 fine.
And, you know, that's an incentive, A, to do it right, but also to keep your eyes open as well. I suppose you're positioning cameras around the city, but lots of people now do have their own CCTV cameras around the homes and the houses, so they might capture something too.
Absolutely, and you're dead right that we've been utilising CCTV in some hotspot area and streets. We do see a reduction, but absolutely, if people have got their own footage and they can identify who it is and it leads to the £300 fixed penalty notice, we'll be more than happy to give you £100 of that money.
And you can share it. And it's important. This isn't just antisocial behaviour, this is it? This is a criminal offence, and it's dangerous.
It is dangerous because sometimes people are dumping toxic items and, you know, it is criminal. And sometimes we've had industrial scale fly tips, not just, you know, a bag of rubbish. Sometimes we've had a whole lorry load go onto an industrial estate and dump the whole lot, block the entrance to the business, you know, made it really difficult for that person who was trading. And clearly this is nothing to do with you can't get into the tip or there's a queue. Hmm. These are professionals who just don't want to pay to get rid of their waste, but they want the taxpayer to pay for them. because it's us and you and our council tax that means is spent in cleaning up their rubbish, and it costs us well over £250,000 every year.
Indeed. Your role on the cabinet is obviously environment and climate change, but this must be one of the things that really gets you goat. It gets mine, that's why I'm saying it, I think.
It does, and we've tried a number of initiatives, to be fair, where we identified some individuals fly-tipping from the vehicles, and clearly we got the reg number. We got round to their properties, told them pay a big fine or we'll take away the car and crush it. We crushed about 14 or 15 cars.
Right.
More than happy to do so.
Yeah.
Obviously, the owners wasn't, but hey, they was dumping fridge freezers. They knew what they was doing.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't, like I say, Mrs. Jones, who said, oh, I can't get to the tip, I haven't got a car, and pushed it outside. You know, these are professional fly tippers. They go to the various locations in the city, and some had even driven further from their address to the tip than it was to dump the fridge freezers and the settees and the mattresses. But I'm pleased to say we crushed a number of vehicles and we're happy to fine people. You know, anything that crushes this criminal act, because it is a crime, you know, let's do it, let's get on top of it. And it's not right, is it? You know,
how is it? A beautiful city. There's lots of green spots, the lanes. You know, all this, yeah. it's often the more rural bits really that where things get dumped because there's less people watching, isn't it? And it spoils some of the nicest parts.
It does, and they think that's how they can get away with it. And why is it that, you know, 99.9% of us do the right thing? We use our bins. We use the bulky collection, which you could use to get rid of items. We go to Shore Road or Anchor Lane. Why should the 0.1% get away with it? They cost you and me a lot of money. They break the law. They do cause a mess. And it's unfair on the rest of us. And about time we brought them to book, I think.
Indeed. So if people come around saying, oh, I'll get rid of that for you, then perhaps, you know, say, oh, no, thank you very much. Note down the number of the vehicle, and then presume that people are then able to report it confidentially, because obviously sometimes people will be worried about the if people know where they live. You know, they want to have confidence in the system, don't they?
Absolutely, and our trading standards team, you know, are first class. They'll be more than happy to follow it up. And as I say, anything that puts a big dent in what's a small minority who causes us a big problem, we're more than happy to get that information off you confidentially or any other way.
And Christmas does produce a bit of rubbish here and there. So, again, getting rid of that the right way. I notice Compton Care are doing recycling of Christmas trees with a donation. So that helps them. That's a great way of getting rid of your tree. But also, obviously, the two sites can, the recycling centres can help you with all the paper, all the cardboard, all the trees and everything.
Absolutely. And we do offer a free real Christmas tree collection ourselves if you want to book a slot. And when your recycling bin goes out, if you've booked a slot, put your real Christmas tree outside with your recycling bin. But of course, there's a lot of wrapping paper and anything that's got glitter on, please don't put it in your recycling bin.
Good point to make, yep.
Because we can't recycle it. Anything that's normal wrapping paper and cardboard, yeah, and there'll be plenty of cardboard, won't there, with all the presents.
Yeah.
Just take the polystyrene out, put that in the general waste bin. But cardboard and normal wrapping paper, yeah, please recycle. Get it into your recycling bin, and we're more than happy to take that away for you.
And the clue is as well, you know, if you haven't wrapped your presents, you know, if you're not organised, like I'm not, and maybe not used to, don't buy silver stuff, silver glittery paper in the first place. Buy better, you know, buy paper you can recycle.
Yeah, just normal wrapping paper. We're happy to take that. Anything that's glittery stuff, we really can't recycle it. I don't think people realise that, to be fair.
That's Councillor Steve Evans, who is a cabinet member for the environment and climate change, and now you know the kind of wrapping paper you should be using. There is a trade fair shop in the Manda Centre. It's been running from July, as you'll hear. I'm being educated on this one. Brenda Shuttleworth runs that, and first of all, though, I asked her to tell us a little bit about trade fair.
Well, the fair trade movement does what it says on the tin. It provides a fair wage for those who produce food items or craft items. in the global south.
And so it means people get a fair wage. That's the key, and it gets ploughed back into communities as well, doesn't it? And there are then assets developed in the communities as well.
That's right. They get paid what we call a premium, which is works on a cooperative principle. So a group of people in a community decide how they can best develop their lives, and it might be by building a creche or training facilities, particularly now. With climate change affecting crops, farmers are very interested in developing methods of farming which enables them to get a better yield. And it's very much part of the sustainable development movement. So ethical, it ticks all the boxes for the ethical shopper.
And it makes Wolverhampton a fair trade city as well, doesn't it? So it's sort of which has been for many years.
Yes, that's right. We are very much part of that movement in Wolverhampton, and perhaps a visible face of the fair trade movement, because we say that on our shop.
Indeed, indeed. Now, your shop, you mentioned your shop in Manda here. So tell us a little bit about, because you're not open all the time. It's a special kind of Christmas time, isn't it?
Well, we've been open in our current premises since July.
Oh, wow. You see, I've missed that. I know I'm being educated myself now. Apologies, Brenda.
Well, we had two pop-ups. We had a pop-up last Christmas, but now we're in a much nicer premises, much bigger. And we are we're open until February, we hope. And then we've got to consider whether we take on a new lease, whether the Manda Centre wants us. And I think they do, because we're unique in the Manda Centre. When people come in, they say, oh, we don't know you're here, and this is wonderful. And they do shop for their Christmas presents.
And it's great. And a part of that, of course, is chocolate.
And part of that is chocolate. A big part of that is chocolate. We have the widest variety of fair trade chocolate that you'll find in Wolverhampton, including in the bigger supermarkets. We've got some nice upmarket chocolates by a company called Seed and Bean. And we have bought some that are made with oat milk for strict vegans. A lot of our chocolate is vegan. People don't realise that if it is a dark chocolate, it can carry the vegan badge. So all sorts of flavours for vegetarians, vegans and those who like their milk.
I remember cardamom is on your list, isn't it, of cardamom flavour?
Lemon and cardamom, that's right.
Oh, sounds...
We do have plenty of that, actually.
Sounds spectacular. And again, other things you've got in the shop there that people might be interested in? Because again, this is about, you know, I've read the story earlier about those young people who are sharing toys. And this is a way by which people almost sharing through their buying with others.
Yes, we've got a range of children's products, preschool products from a company called Lancacade, who work out of, well, they're based in Britain, but have a partnership with a company in Sri Lanka. The director is from Sri Lanka. And these are all wooden toys, lots of lovely jigsaws, small ones for little hands. And then we have a few big ones, 25 pieces to make up the alphabet in lovely, lovely colours. So that is a nice stocking filler. We have some stocking fillers in that range.
Right.
We've been doing a lot of sales this week in woolly hats from Nepal.
Unsurprisingly, it's getting milder now, though, so perhaps, you know, that'll die off and the toys will come back in.
It's not that warm, Chris.
Well, the forecast says, but who believes the forecast, eh? Now, tell us whereabouts we can find you.
We're in the Victoria Arcade, which is the passageway leading from what was Beatty's through into the Manda Centre proper. We're opposite Santa's Grotto. And my goodness me, yesterday was Santa doing some work. He worked very hard all afternoon.
So you're well placed by Santa's Grotto.
Yeah,
that sounds to me excellent. And now I know, you know, you're all run by volunteers. What are your opening times?
We open from Tuesday through to Saturday, so we are open on Christmas Eve. We open at 10 o'clock in the morning and close at 5. We don't open on Mondays, I'm afraid.
Right, so don't go along on a Monday, don't go along tomorrow, and you're open there right through. So it's not just for, you know, trade fair is not just for Christmas, is what you're telling me.
That's right, it's for all year round, and we hope that we'll be able to provide you with Easter eggs in the season, but we'll talk about that perhaps after Christmas.
We shall do indeed. Brenda, I do appreciate you taking time out today and come and chat to me and tell us all about that, and best wishes for the shop, best wishes to you and to all your volunteers for Christmas.
Thank you, and to you. Thank you.
That's Brenda Shuttleworth telling us about the trade fair shop in the Mander Centre, opposite Santa's Grotto, so you can't fail to find it. Councillor Sandra Samuels, OBE, is the mayor of the city of Wolverhampton. When I caught up with her, I put it to her, it was a very, very busy year, but she did have the chance to support some really important charities.
It is. One of the things we get the opportunity to do is support causes, good causes that are close to our hearts. And you know, you get 12 months to raise as much fund as you can. And what we like to do is look at areas of service that have been delivered, but that also needs support financially, as well as, you know, helping to raise the profile of these smaller charities, which for me, ACCI, which has been going for 35 years, I believe now.
Right.
The African Caribbean Community Initiative. Compton Care has been going for 40 years. And Sickle Cell has been, the Sickle Cell organisation in Wolverhampton has been going for about 25, 30 years now. Right. So, yes.
No, it's tremendous. I'll let people know later how they might donate via text to your charities, which is always a good thing to do. Now, on Christmas Day, you've told me you're going to be doing something. It's not just sitting at home and having your own dinner, is it?
Well, I'd love to be able to sit at home and have my own dinner. But I'm part of a directorship in Wolverhampton. Excuse me. Heritage Centre, which is the African Caribbean Community Hub in Wolverhampton, which is on Clifford Street in Whitmarines. And over the past 10 years, what we have done is throw the doors open on Christmas Day to individuals who are living in the city and are on their own, or, you know, who can't afford to pay for a three-course Christmas meal. And This is sponsored. The event itself is open to about 80 or 90 people. It's sponsored by the Heritage Centre directors and the ADASA Catering Services. And we sponsor the event. And yes, all people have to do is ring in, really, and put their name on the list.
Indeed. So it's not too late, is it, to book your dinner?
No, it isn't too late at all, Chris.
You better let us have the number, I think.
Yes, the telephone number is 07956 447576, and the director is Alicia Spence.
Right, I've written down that. I'm going to mention it again later, and also all the interviews from my shows go out on a podcast, and so I'll make sure that that's in the show notes as well this coming week too. Now,
I just need to just say that there's one correction to that. It is actually starting at 1 p.m. as opposed to 2 p.m. this year.
1 p.m. on Christmas Day.
Day on Christmas Day, the 25th, the wonderful 25th of December.
Next Sunday, yes. Indeed. Now, you are the 163rd mayor of the city, but you are the first mayor from African Caribbean heritage. And that's something you're really proud of, isn't it?
I'm extremely proud of, Chris. I've been part of local government for 25 years. And in the 25 years, I've been a councillor in Wolverhampton for almost 20 years. And so, you know, during my time, obviously, I've seen many mayors. It's something that I think we all as councillors aspire to, but I've never seen anyone that actually looked like me. So my motto is, if you can't see it, you become it. So yes, it's an honour and a huge privilege to represent the city of Wolverhampton, somewhere that I've gone to primary school, you know, senior school, and I've lived in for the last 37 years.
Right. So you're well positioned to take this role on, that represents the city as a whole, doesn't it?
Yes, it represents the city as a whole. You know, it is a very, very prestigious role, a very privileged role. You are classed as the first citizen, you know, and you are the individual that actually acts as the ambassador for the city, promoting the city locally, nationally and regionally, but also, you know, a representative of the monarch.
And do you feel that some of the barriers to people as females and people from other ethnic minority heritages are breaking down? Is it getting there slowly? Because, again, you're the only 11th female mayor, I notice, as well.
Yes, Chris, the 11th female mayor and out of 163. And I feel that that is something we are working on as a city. It's something we need to work on as a city. But, you know, feel that things have improved. You know, the role of mayor was always that of a male individual. But I just feel that due to some of our policies now around equality and inclusion, that is to me vastly improving.
It's opening up doors and removing some of those glass and even concrete ceilings that were there in the past.
Well, those glass ceilings, I believe, are still there. You just need to find a way round them.
And you've done that very, very adequately indeed. So thank you. If I'd like to say thank you to you, you know, not just for supporting the charities, but also the Christmas Day, but also thank you for the service you give to the city, because it does take a lot of your time during this year.
It does take a lot of my time, but I've had a fantastic year up till now. And I say year, it's been 7 months. I'm 7 months into my role. And, you know, one of the highlights of being mayor this year has to be the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebration over the four public holidays that we had over the long weekend, attending some 19 engagements over those 4 days. You know, fantastic to go out. And my highlight is usually going out and meeting people. I think the role of mayor is about the city's citizens and how we best represent them. But, you know, also making sure that we're out there to serve the city when it comes to our, you know, ceremonial events.
And I know also, without giving too much away about the quiz, that also you thought the Commonwealth Games was a very happy and significant event in the year too.
Oh, yes, the Commonwealth Games. It has to be up there as well with the Queen's Jubilee. But for us, having the time trials in the city of Wolverhampton was just the best. Here we were with Wolverhampton on the global stage. So yes, very proud, you know, and what it did is it brought in extra investment into our city, which is always a huge plus.
Well, we look forward to hearing you in the quiz. When it goes out over Christmas, I'll give that a plug as well, and catching up with you in the new year.
Of course. Looking forward, very much forward to it.
That is Councillor Sandra Samuels OBE, the Mayor of the City of Wolverhampton. And the quiz, the Milk Bar quiz, is going to be going out at 4:30 on New Year's Day. Looking forward to that very much indeed. Christmas can be a difficult time for people. I caught up with Gray from Samaritans and put it to her. It's not the easiest time of year for a lot of people, as they see other people celebrating and yet they have some sadness in their own hearts.
Oh, it can be a really challenging time for people for so many reasons. And it's really important this time of year that you kind of check in and ask people, are you okay? No, really, are you okay?
And you've pushed that before, really, be braving in asking those questions rather than just using it as a greeting, which we tend to use, don't we? We sort of need to ask the question really properly.
Absolutely. And if you know your friend or your family member and you can kind of sense that they're a little bit off, it shows that you care, that you ask in these very challenging questions, and it shows that you know, value them and don't be afraid of affecting the relationship, because they will see that it is out of love that you're asking these questions.
And I should imagine that sometimes some of the moods of people are predictable, aren't they, when we get to Christmas time, especially those, perhaps, if you know the circumstances, they've lost someone. So again, think of those who perhaps, you know, it'll be a difficult time.
Yeah, I mean, for many, it can be challenging through grief, through losing somebody. And then with the current way of the world, it can be challenging because of the expectations placed on people for buying presents and all of those things. And it is really important to kind of realise that It's about spending time with people. It's about sharing just experiences. It's not always about spending the money, but checking in on people and just saying hello can be the greatest gift to people.
And are you finding that the cost of living crisis is impacting on the people calling you, that they're more desperate because of money-related issues, the whole, you know, heat or eat kind of dilemma people find themselves in?
I think with Samaritans, we experience such a wealth of human experience on the phone that it's really difficult to say, but I personally have taken calls from people who are struggling. So it is a difficult time for everybody. And I know that it's not much, but having somebody to listen and be there is really valuable to people. And if you feel as though you have no one, the Samaritans are always there 24/7 and we'll be that person for you. We'll listen. We'll support you as best as we can.
And sometimes people can feel very lonely, even in a family context, can't they? Perhaps they're worried on behalf of the family. So again, doesn't mean you're on your own when you're lonely. You can be lonely in lots of different situations.
Yeah, you can be lonely in a very busy room, and every type of lonely is valid. It's not a fun experience to be lonely in a busy room. And the same goes if you're feeling that way. If there's somebody that you can talk to and share why you're feeling that way, maybe we can make that loneliness not quite so overwhelming. And again, Samaritans will always be there.
And the number, in case people don't know, is 116123. Remember that one. And people can also write as well. If they find it easier to put things in writing, they can write to you.
Yes. So you can either send us an email or actually a physical letter. We do have the address and all the details are kind of on our website, but our main way is 116123 on the phone. And then there's joe@samaritans.org.uk. So we do have many different ways that you can reach out to us. And all of our volunteers are trained to such a high level. They'll be able to support anything, that no problem's too big or too small, as we say.
No, indeed. Now, you're forever fundraising, obviously, to try to keep going, which, you know, is one of those things that a charity has to do. And you're re-releasing your single, I believe.
Yes, we wrote and recorded a great Christmas single called At Christmas by Wolverhampton Samaritans, and it's available on Spotify and Apple and anywhere that you would normally download your music. And any downloads, the money will come to the Samaritans to support what we do.
And Samaritans in Wolverhampton specifically?
Yes, specifically Wolverhampton.
And that's what we want to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I believe also you've been focusing a lot of outreach at the moment, because especially with younger people, because again, you've seen some tragedy.
Yeah, there's been a lot of tragedy in the local area and the wider area at the moment. And so we have a great team within our branch that are reaching out to the local schools and to local organisations to provide the support to anybody that may have witnessed something or has experienced something, or to people that may never have heard of Samaritans before, to try and let more and more people know that we're here and we are there to listen.
So people, remember that number, 116123. And as we move into the new year, it's a big year for Samaritans, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big year. It is 70 years of Samaritans as a charity, and there will be a lot of things going on, hopefully all over the country, but we are hoping to put some celebration together in some way in Wolverhampton. So that's one to keep your ears peeled for.
Indeed, we'll make sure that happens indeed. Well, a very happy Christmas to you, and thank you, and through you to all the volunteers who work with you, for the great service you offer to the people of the city.
Oh, thank you very much, and Merry Christmas. And just remember, you are not alone. Samaritans are here. give us a call, 116 123.
That's great, from Samaritans, 116 123, that vital number to always remember for yourselves and perhaps for friends when they are feeling particularly in times of need. The Right Reverend Clive Gregory is the Bishop of Wolverhampton, and this week's podcast finishes with a message from him for Christmas.
After two Christmases overshadowed by the experience of and the threat of COVID, this year the challenge for so many of us is the cost of living crisis. Just managing to keep sufficiently warm, well-fed and sheltered this Christmas is a challenge for so many of our citizens. At first sight, it might seem that there is no connection between the struggles of so many in the present moment and the birth of a child in miraculous circumstances in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But we would do well to remember that, stripped of its festive wrappings, the Christmas story is one of struggle and hardship and anxiety. Mary, about to give birth, having to undertake a long and arduous journey. And when her time came, no opportunity to call the midwife, not even a place of comfort for her to give birth. Imagine her feelings of vulnerability, anxiety, and fear. Imagine Joseph's concern for her, and for the baby to be born in such circumstances. Into this gritty human drama come three elements that turn the family's darkly challenging circumstances into an occasion of joy and wonder. The first is the hospitality offered to Mary and Joseph. It may only have been a stable, but it was a roof over their heads and a place of safety. The second is the comfort of strangers. What a boost to their morale it must have been when the shepherds appeared, and then the wise men, not to mention the supportive presence of the animals. They were alone no longer, and others had made such sacrifices to be with them. The third is the generosity shown to them, symbolised by the gifts of the wise men. The elements that transform the first Christmas will be the same ones that bring some hope, some joy, some comfort to many who are really struggling this winter. Churches and other faith communities and charities are providing warm spaces, places of hospitality, which are warmed further by the comfort of human kindness. Generosity continues to stock the food banks on which record numbers of people depend. We all have the opportunity to be part of an unexpectedly joyful Christmas story for some of our most vulnerable fellow citizens, through the donations we make, the time we volunteer, the kindness we spread. The first Christmas may be the greatest story ever told, but wouldn't it be wonderful if Christmas 2022 could run it close through our success in channeling the spirit of the original?
That's the Right Reverend Clive Gregory, the Bishop of Wolverhampton. And that's it for this week and for this year. It just leaves me to say, have a Christmas full of joy and a peaceful new year. If you're listening to this before Christmas Day, then please join Debbie Hookston and I between 9 and midday on Christmas Day as we unwrap Christmas.